Hello, welcome to Money Talks. I am Angel Money with a very special episode recorded. Well, I don't want to say live, but we're in Amsterdam in the Leonardo Hotel.
Right.
Because I am here with the beautiful, the prolific, the incredible baby nymph. How are
Hi.
You?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. We've been having like a really nice little chill key in the hotel. I fell asleep, unfortunately, as soon as I got off my fucking plane. And there, something that I feel like people don't understand is that when you go to Europe, everything is slightly different. And the key card, there's this thing where in European hotels, sometimes you have to put a key card in the hotel, in the door. Like there's a slot by the door, you put a key card in it and it turns the power on in the room. And when there's not a key card in it, there's no power. So I come in, it's 2 p.m. Mind you, I've been cuddling on the plane.
Right.
Train, plane, everything. I'm covered in white powder. I come back, I'm like, girl, I need a fucking nap. I go down for a nap and then my phone did not charge. It died because there was no power in the room because the hotel key. And then I woke up just like in a cold sweat, like, baby, I need to see baby. How are you?
No, I'm really good. And honestly, that's kind of like perfect timing. Like, I feel like because you fell asleep, I just arrived to Amsterdam and I linked up with my friend Nana and we just like started a little carry. So yeah
you did the pre-carry,
exactly,
which is so important.
Exactly.
People don't understand the importance of a pre-carry because there's a after, but the pre-carry, it's like, let's get warmed up, girl, before we really carry.
Exactly. And that's very important.
You have to stretch before you lift or exercise or do anything. You gonna pull a muscle, girl. Like, you gotta get ease your way. And Nina's such a beautiful pre-carry partner in general. She's in the corner making TikToks as we speak, or videos or whatever she's doing, looking just so beautiful.
Right.
But so I am very happy to have you and to be here in Amsterdam with you. We're playing Tiltech, is the club? Tiltech?
I think that's what it's called, yeah.
But you said that that's like,
So basically, it used to be a different club. It was like called The School, but I think like it closed down and they rebranded it into this new club, but it's only one section of the previous club working.
Wait, it used to be called The School?
Yeah.
The School.
Yeah.
Well, girl. Oh, well, you're going to go to school tomorrow, darling.
I'm going to go to school tomorrow.
We're going to take you bitches to class. Then I'm going to come and buy you hoes. No, we're going to be in math class, algebra, because there will be numbers and letters. 3, 4, K, G. You know, like we will be X equals time to do another dose. But we've been pre-carrying a little bit here. We're in my hotel room and just the most beautiful buffet you've ever seen of powders,
mama, and doses,
everything.
Yeah, and this hotel is like, the shit that this hotel has seen is like insane. Basically, artists regularly are staying in this hotel because
this is the artist hotel.
Yeah. So I've just like, I've had so many different carries in here with so many different people.
Like with who? Anyone interesting?
I've definitely carried here with Safi.
Oh, love.
Yeah, I've carried here Boots, just me and my husband. I feel like I was here with Google Chloe as well after our show.
Ooh.
It's like, yeah, it's just the artist hotel, so
yeah, just shit goes the fuck down in here, I'm sure. Well, I mean, girl, we got it all laid out on the fucking desk right here. If y'all could only see what I'm seeing, just so many crushers. We got exclusively the Cali Rose crushers, which
always
are, they are so, she tore those crushers, they're so beautiful, like the milky white with like the subtle design,
they're amazing. Like our friend Adam, he's producing the crushers.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. No, they're like, they both fucking tore with the design and the texture. Everything is just like so fucking perfect. And the size, I'm obsessed.
No, they're I have a set because when I was in Berlin recently on tour, I stashed, she gifted me a couple and I stashed them. They're probably in my luggage somewhere, but they're beautiful. She is so kind. I will say she, I have the funny, so she, I throw this party in Berlin called Ketamine Lounge that she played last time I was in Berlin. And we were after.
Which was such a gag when I saw the lineup. I was like, Ketamine Lounge boots, mama.
It
like
was the fab.
The lineup, like giving the main K girlies, like everybody's just like, oh, Kandelina. Yes.
Oh, and we were cundled, like under the floor, cundled with the horse cundled. Girl, like just cundled in a way that, like, oh my God, like I can't even, you know, when you're so cundled, you just become the couch, you become the floor. Like, that's what Quia should be. Like, I feel like, because it's all the beds. You've been there, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like the fucking beds on the floor. Oh, you've, yeah. Actually, can I have some 3-2, period? Thank you. So it's so fabulous. Just like all of the beds on the floor, all of the ambient music exclusively. Like, so kind.
It'd be amazing if it didn't smell like feet.
But did it smell like feet on our night? I feel like it was a little better.
It was nice, right?
Yeah.
That was cute.
It was not bad. It was not bad. But I, after we had that amazing cute Nana, me, Safi, so many at Bay and Kian's house, was so beautiful. They're such a sweet couple. But Callie, I say this to say, Callie was sitting at the, we were sitting on the bed and she's like, you know, I like don't really like, I don't want to do like 3 or 4 anymore. Like, it's toxic. Like, I feel like it's bad for my body. I'm like, girl, period. Like, yeah, I feel that. She's like, I'm really proud of myself. Like, I only did like G and like K tonight. And I'm like, girl, cunt. Like, Berlin sober. No, that's
I've
right.
definitely heard that before.
But from then,
Berlin sober.
Nina was fucking doing my fucking hair about 5 minutes later, straightening my shit the fuck out. And why did I see Callie walk over and say, is there any like 4? Like, do you mean 4? I'm like, bitch, you tore. How about that? Like, Madame Berlin, she is so kind. Like, what a. And I honestly sing that song all the time to myself. Madame Berlin.
She lives in sin.
She's getting thin.
She's getting thin. I'm obsessed.
But yeah, so we're here cutting the fucking lines the fuck up. Do you do a lot of drugs in Amsterdam typically?
I do a lot of drugs, period.
Oh, well, what's your roster typically like? What type of cocktail?
I love a chemsex cocktail, but without the sex part.
But do you fuck on the chemsex cocktail?
No. That's what I'm saying. It's like the classic faggy chemsex vibe without the sex.
But you're so not like, fucking the gays in the afties.
No, absolutely not. So it's like, I love a dose and I love a line of a 3. So like an upper and like euphoria type of shit. And then an occasional line of K.
Occasional.
Occasional.
It's not like
your
base shade. It's like you like her, but it's not your foundation.
No, it used to be, but ever since I started touring, I realized that like I cannot be on K all the time because I literally had no fucking idea what was going on around me. So I just got into uppers more. But
that's actually wise. I feel like K can kind of cloud things where like it's Nana's telling us to do ASMR with the lines. It is. I do think with K specifically, it's easy to just miss.
Yeah, I feel
miss
like
details.
K for me is just like such a spiritual substance. Also, like I do not like to be on K at a club or like in public. I'd rather be like on my own or like just like with one bitch that gets it, and then we would just like K-hole boots and just like have the craziest ideas and
yeah
that kind of vibe.
I get that, because I feel like K for me is like, well, I'm a K. I feel like I am 98% of my body is probably ketamine at this point. Like, ketamine is, K is my fucking shit. Like you would not fucking believe, because I just, you know, it's it's just everything to me. Like, she's everything to me. But I like her in the club. I like her in the car. I like her on a bus. I like her on the beach. But I get what you're saying, because I do think more people should focus their K use on like a, like at the spa, mm-hmm. at the, in nature, like something beautiful. Like most people can low-key not handle their K in the fucking club. And if you're touring, it's a lot to keep track of everything. Like it, you know, it's, I see why that would be a problem.
Yeah. But I mean, that's kind of like with G though as well. I just feel like there's like a huge stigma around G. And I honestly get it, because like,
yeah,
people can act fucking crazy, but that's honestly like under influence of any substance. You know, if you're a crazy fucking bitch, you're gonna act fucking crazy when you're high.
Like when I get high,
yeah, when I get high and when my friends get high, like we're just being normal, chilling, you know. But yeah, I definitely can see how like a lot of people should not do drugs. They shouldn't go out either, actually. They should just stay home.
I agree. Oh, completely. 100,000%. I feel like I constantly see people where I'm like, why are you, you know, it's like, is this fun for you? Like, are you having fun being like a fucking crazy crackhead? Like, that's
for, exactly.
This should be fun. Like, I'm all about fun. And in the club, especially, like, I should be having fun. So if you're not having fun, why are you here? Like, this is a fun place. Like, let's have fun. Like, if you're fucking G-ing the fuck out, being kooky, crazy, and I get it's a struggle. Like, I'm not trying to shame anybody for being, you know, like, it's hard to manage your drug use. Like, it's not easy, but I just wish people had more, were realer with themselves about what they wanted, what they needed. Like,
yeah, I mean, I've thought about this a lot, and I feel like if we think about it, like, I feel like people actually are pretty real when it comes to these things. I mean, most parties, and that's like my observation mostly in Berlin, the way every single party ends up looking like a fucking zoo, and you're just feeling so crazy in there, and like people are clearly not having fun anymore. It's just giving fucking zombie apocalypse vibes. Obviously, it's not for fun purposes anymore. It's just like giving a cycle of self-destruction. It's not fun. It's not glam.
No.
It's not about feeling good. It's about being self-destructive.
Yeah.
And that's the tea with like most of Berlin parties. But also, I feel like in Europe, people are just like, in other countries, people are trying to mimic like the Berlin situation because they think that's what's popping and that's what's cool. Mm-hmm. And then they just like start seeing, you know, the same kind of vibe in other cities. But
like, what cities have you noticed that the most?
Just around Europe in general, like in the Netherlands, I've noticed that. In Denmark, like all around Europe, honestly, Prague. And I've been having conversations about this thing a lot with like the locals, that people are really trying to mimic this Berlin situation. But in Berlin, it works because there's just like such a huge demographic of people that just want to get fucked up and want to get like insanely self-destructive.
Of course.
But then in other countries, they just like take this model because they think that's what's cool to do, but then they're just like kind of forcing themselves into this self-destruction cycle, mm-hmm. Even without it being so real in a sense. Because I feel like in Berlin, that's why I said earlier, it's very honest. Like the bitches are fucking honest about the fact that they just hate themselves, you know.
And they want to demolish their fucking everything, every part of themselves.
Yeah, but when it like spreads to other places, like fucking plague, like it's not a vibe. And that's what I'm trying to change. And I have very cute bitches from all around the world on board with me. And we're just like working on trying to set up these like events. So I basically started my own music label.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in the beginning of last year, Cunt House.
It's called what?
Cunt House.
Cunt House.
Yeah. I just like, I'm surrounded by so many talented fucking bitches. And especially in my fan base, I've scouted like a bunch of like insanely talented people. And I was just so gagged by the music. And yeah, it just came naturally, this whole thing. And we all share the same vision of how we want to party and like what we want to see in the future. And basically with this club nights, I want to bring back glamour, and I want to bring back like the feeling cute vibes, you know, going out to feel cute, dress up, like feeling fucking
just like cunt the house, like
exactly, and also doing it in spaces where you feel like appreciated, because a lot of these parties, they take place in fucking, you know, like ugly ass buildings, like giving like very fucking dirty. The bitches like trash the shit out of the venues every time. Like, I want to keep it cute, you know. I want to have the girls like all dolled up, like looking nice. I want to have nice ventilation there, so like you don't sweat like crazy and your makeup is just like running down your face.
You just want it to be a good setting for bitches to have fun, be cunt, be fab.
Exactly.
What are your favorite venues for that?
Well, that's the thing. I'm in the stage right now where I'm scouting venues with help of my bitches around the globe, basically. We're trying to find...
Ooh.
Huh?
I said, ooh, global.
Global, no.
All it's around giving, the fucking globe,
it's
bitch.
Giving global, and we're trying to figure out how to do that exactly, because there has to be a strategy. Basically, the thing is, most of these like best venues that I've seen are straight clubs, always.
I love straight clubs.
Straight clubs are giving like IMVU, you know,
yes,
like this type of shit. Like, I love, it's like the way I imagined a club being when I was like a kid, like that's what I want. And yeah, so basically I've just noticed that like it's always the straight clubs that look like this, but then obviously straight clubs,
like a club in a movie, like a dance club with
exactly life. But then they don't host this type of situations, like this insanely cracky raves, for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
But I feel like, yeah, we're just like figuring out the strategy on how to get into these spaces, because, you know, I also feel like I'm surrounded by so many amazing fucking talented people, and most of them happen to be trans, but that's not the main factor, you know. It's the artistry that matters. So I feel like by default most of these bitches are being placed in venues, you know, that are giving like queer safe space in this type of situation,
like Flint ass, like 100%,
exactly. And you know, it really upsets me because of course like there's gonna be influences from your personal experience as a trans person and your life, etc., etc., but overall it's about the artistry, and your artistry deserves to be seen on a global scale and a global platform. So I want these girls to be performing at the straight clubs, you know, at cunty fabulous venues, you know, and have mixed crowds coming and appreciating the art, because when there's such like clear separation, it's not giving progressive. This is not going anywhere.
It's segregated. It's like hidden away.
Exactly. And it's like, I feel like it's very offensive to the artistry, because when there's so much focus on identity politics rather than you as an artist, it's unfair, because indeed a lot of these bitches are operating based on like, we are a collective, like we're a community, and like we're having our queer safe space, and it's just about the identity politics. But the bitches that are actually talented artists, like they deserve to have major platforms, but because they happen to also be trans, they're by default being put in these fucking boxes and this type of situations.
Oh, yeah.
And it's very unfair. So yeah, we are working on developing strategies how to work with these straight clubs and straight venues, and like just basically give the artists the platforms that they deserve to fully execute their
absolutely
cunt.
Oh, I love that. That's like, honestly, I've thrown a lot of parties in New York. Well, not a lot, like I've thrown a couple parties in New York, and they've been pretty legendary, some of them.
I've been like so obsessed with this. I think it was called Doze.
Oh my god,
there was a video teaser like when it dropped
with Sophie, that was such an amazing party. It was I loved the branding of that. I feel like that's always so fun with a party, but first couple of parties I threw were not in established club, like not in a club setting, like a typical club setting, because I don't like feeling like, oh, this is a queer vibe. This is a cut off vibe where it's just gonna be like Tinder queer people and all the people they know. And like, I'm really interested in something that is a more of a mixer, more of a cultural stimulator. Like, I want people to feel like you have no idea who you're gonna see, you know?
Exactly. It's about cultural impact and cultural progression, and it's about who you're gonna see. Exactly. And I feel like part of the strategy that I have is like, you know, because dealing with venue owners of like straight clubs and shit, you know, it's tough. Like, you cannot just like pull up and be like, we're like a trans collective and we want to throw, like, they don't give a fucking shit.
No.
You know, fair enough. They want to hear money. They want to hear business, you know?
Yeah, of course.
And as it should. So you should just speak on their terms. And basically by booking one kind of mainstream act, that will definitely provide like full capacity and satisfy the venue owners,
of course,
as a deal, then you throw into the mix like on the lineup like your hidden gems. And then once all these people are there, they're gonna witness people that they've never seen play before, and they're just gonna fucking gag because they're already there, you know. And normally they wouldn't even see them anywhere, because like, I'm interested in mixed type of crowds, you know. I want the straight fucking bros to be in a fucking club and all of a sudden like there's like this fab fucking doll playing the music and they're
something
just
they've
like
never seen before.
Yeah,
and
they're just like obsessed, because normally they would be like, oh fuck this tranny shit, you know, but like they're already there and they're just seeing this in this context, so they're obsessed. And I feel like that has like such a bigger cultural impact than just keeping everything separated.
Oh yeah, of course. I think like the nightclub should be a place where we're all having fun, we're all mixing, we're all meeting new people. Like, there should be networking stuff happening, and like that can only happen if it's more of a melting pot and the people who actually have the resources are there partying, enjoying themselves. Like, I don't really, in New York it is such a thing where venues where,
sorry, Nana, can you make some more three?
Oh yeah, I would love. Could we have a three line? No, you don't have to. Oh, now we finished the three.
Oh, we have more.
Oh, love that we have more. I like three, but so my thing with the straight people is like, people get really upset when there are straight people at the club, and I'm like, no bitch, like, okay, do I think there should be places where it's like queer only? Sure, yeah, for sure. Like, I want to be able to keep with my cis down, of course. I want to have like a place where that feels chill, but in the club, like the capital C club, like, I kind of think that should be, we should have more spaces where it's everybody being cunt and gagging, because
no, exactly. But that's the thing, because that's where, you know, if we think of the whole concept of a like queer safe space as it is, like, all and a lot of other concepts in this like queer spectrum, to be honest, like, they're all pretty nice, but then they just like got fucking ruined in action, because like, you know, a safe space is supposed to be like a curated space where like the crowd is curated,
of course,
but it's being like, it's very literal in the sense that like, they're just like throwing everyone under the queer umbrella in one space and expecting them to like act in a certain way towards each other. Mm-hmm. And they actually do, because I feel like it's like somewhat of a subculture at this point, you know, based on like this very specific political views and like the way they speak and the way they act, you know, like 1,000. it's like too much filter at this point.
It's very prescriptive. Like, it's like there is a language that you're supposed to speak, and if you don't speak it, like, I have always gone out to places that are like, I love nowadays, like, but I will say, like, there is such a thing where when you go out and you're talking to people and you're like, oh, I can't have a real moment with you because this is all going to be seen through the lens of like your worldview that's so political about like your identity and my identity. And like, I'm at the club, bitch. Like, let's get high and have fun.
Exactly.
Like,
exactly my point. And then we have like all these, like in Europe, there's always, but I also actually seen it in LA when I performed. There's like fucking house rules on the walls at the clubs, like respect people's pronouns, like consent is key, blah blah. But like, I'm just like at this point of, I'm just thinking, okay, but first of all, like the fact that you have to put this shit on the wall, like if you're actually curating the crowd, it's not gonna be about identity, but it's gonna be about just like picking people that are just like fucking normal human beings that can act like fucking normal human beings, you know what
of
I mean?
Of course, like it's curated, like, it should be curated.
Like, in the sense that like you can be a straight like cis man, or like you can be like a trans, like it doesn't matter. Just like humans that act normal,
of course.
So you don't need to fucking put house rules on the wall where people should read that, like, oh, consent is key. Like, no shit, bitch. Like, yeah, like, rape is not okay.
Yeah,
you know,
well,
like, the fact that you have to say it, like, what the hell?
If somebody's acting up, like, they should get thrown the fuck out. And obviously, like, you should create a situation where the culture of the club isn't conducive for somebody to act in a way that's gonna hurt someone else. But at the same time, like, I don't like this thing where everything is couched in... So, like, when I go into the club, I'm already thinking about, oh, there's a specific way that I'm supposed to act and whatever. It's like, bitch, like, how about we just cut the fuck up and kiki and dance and have fun? And then and also, like, obviously, people are going to act psychotic because it's a club, but then that's
exactly
to get the fuck out. Like,
but that's my point with this separation based on identity, is that like they will just exclude all straight people because they think by default they're gonna act psychotic, but
girl,
then they'll have
queers
like,
act psychotic,
queers
too
act fucking psychotic. And then like every time I'm like in a fucking queer safe space, I'm just like, I'm feeling like I'm in a fucking war zone. There's like, it's like giving fucking mental asylums, like the insane queers on crack. Like, is, you know, like,
I
how
feel
is
like
that
queers
a fucking
act
safe
up
space? You know, it's like insane.
Yeah.
So, but they're gonna just like base it on very superficial aspects of like your sexuality, like your identity, like stuff like that. It's insane. Like, it should be deeper, and you cannot just like. It's giving, like, you know how they just put like all trans people in one box, expecting that we all have the same experiences, the same worldview, and like once there's somebody who like disagrees with something, it's such a like trigger nowadays. I'm like, bitch, we're all separate human beings. The world puts us in this one category.
It's like we have some stuff in common, but we're not the same.
Exactly.
You know.
But like, the world does put us in one category, but like ourselves, we should separate each other, you know. It's giving like, where's your individuality? Who are you as a person besides this, like all the labels that you have in the queer safe space, the fucking flinta as shit.
Well, but then sometimes don't you feel like that's like those identities are, because I'm sorry, if you're
and like, lesbian is not a personality, bitch.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like non-binary isn't a personality either, but it's like I would say I'm non-binary, like in the sense of like I'm a transsexual woman. Like, I've lived as a woman more of my life than I've lived as a boy or something. But it's like, that being said, like, I got a fucking dick. Like, I'm not afraid to be like, that's such a boring, like, when you meet people at the club sometimes and you're like, do you even have a personality, or is your identity as like a quote unquote queer person, like your entire, is that how you move
it's
through
like
the
a
world?
Compromisation for the lack of identity for them, basically. Because I feel like when I first
to substitute for a personality.
Yeah, when I first like heard about this, like the whole non-binary thing, when it started like happening, I felt that, and I still do feel that, but like on a deeper level, you know, just like by understanding what social gender is, and that it's basically gender is basically doing drag, like, you know, what it means socially being a woman and a man and all this kind of stuff. But then when you once I started like noticing other people in the community, quote unquote, like that's where I dropped out, because I was like, you bitches are ruining a concept that is actually supposed to make a lot of sense and be like very intelligent.
Of course.
And you're just like turning it into complete fucking shit show, because like as a non-binary bitch, you're supposed to like know exactly what's happening socially with genders, and that it's a performance, and you're not it, and you just like don't care about this stuff. But nowadays, like non-binary bitches are acting like it's a third fucking gender, like, you know, and then it's giving like, you know, crying over like somebody misgendering them and not saying,
well, my girl, like, misgendering, like, you're like, you created an identity that
it's just like it's contradictionary, because it's supposed to do the opposite thing. You're supposed to not care because you're non-binary, you just like don't give a shit, you're like out of this context of social genders. But then like, yeah, I feel like it's just like obsession with being a victim.
Well, I also think 100%, and I also think like for me, the people who I can like, I feel like Jeffree Star is like the picture of non-binary, because like Jeffree lives in a way that's like gender non-conforming, actually really, which I don't think, listen, if you don't feel like a man, whatever, that's fine, like that's personal, that's a personality thing for you, whatever, but like that's not an identity that you don't feel like a man. Okay, so what, so if you're not performing, I'm not saying that non-binary people owe me anything or owe me, this is just my opinion on the identity of like, okay, so if you're living your entire life based on the fact that you're non-binary, queer type of person, but like your gender performance isn't giving that, then like what is this aside from just like a community that you're trying to gain access to, like a club, like, and that's exactly. And that's fine, like there's exactly. Nothing wrong with that, but I think we just need to be more honest about the fact that a lot of people have chosen, it's almost the same thing as like, okay, you know that you can get into this specific group of people, you can have a lifestyle based on your identity, you don't necessarily need to have like a super huge personality aside from that, you don't have to have a huge identity aside from like your identity labels, that's, if that's what you want to do, that's fine. But then let's not say that that's, what does that have to do with fucking being non-binary? Like, what does that have to do with being outside of gender in a meaningful way, or like outside of male and femaleness in a meaningful way? Like, just because you have they them pronouns doesn't, and you don't feel like a boy or a girl, like that's fab, but like what does that mean in your day-to-day life? Like, what does that
exactly
look like?
And I feel like what it's supposed to mean and what it meant for me, it was completely personal, like I understood it and I lived with it and I found peace in this. But judging from how...
Oh, do you want that three also?
I just did one line.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Is that... Wait, Nina, do you... Is this for you? Yeah, okay. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Yeah, no worries. It's like I'm just noticing how, you know, people are just basing their entire identity over like this victimhood, and they just want to be oppressed so bad, and they turn this like non-binary thing that was supposed to be a beautiful, like very forward-thinking concept.
It's a cunt concept. Like, it really is
concept.
Fab.
It's very forward-thinking. It's very intelligent, and it should. It's like it should be personal, but then they're just like using it as a token in the society.
Yeah,
you know, like being. A victim, like getting attention when somebody like misgenders or whatever, you know, and stuff like that. It's obviously like you don't represent anything as a personality, so you're just like, you just need like this one thing, something to base, you know, this trigger around this, like, okay, so what am I gonna be triggered about, like, you miss, you know, it's like what the hell, like why would you live like this? Like, find your individuality. Who are you as a person? Like, what's the tea?
Well, I also think I completely agree with all of that. And I think that, like, for me, because I was non-binary before. Well, so when I was young, I wanted to be a girl. Like, I wanted to transition. I told people around me when I was, like, very young, like, I want to be a girl. Like, I want to wear dresses, etc. But then when I got a little bit older, I was like, you know, I... I want to, I was very gender nonconforming when I was a teenager. And honestly, my entire life, I've been very gender nonconforming. I've never really given like a man per se. And it's like, even though I live as a woman now and I've transitioned into being a woman over a long period of time, and you know, I'm coming up on like 8.5 years of transition, like of like medical transition, not even social. They're social transition, like over 10 years. Before that, I was identifying more so as like gender nonconforming or non-binary. And I really was giving that. Like I looked very, I because that's how I felt. Like I my presentation was not male or female. It was like, it was its own thing that was very performative. I was really interested in taking things from both. I was very interested in androgyny. And I think there's this idea that if a trans woman says anything about non-binary people, like that it's oppressive, but it's like, I was non-binary. So it's not like I'm speaking about this from the outside. Like trans women understand non-binary because we are outside of conventional notions of like maleness or femaleness. So
exactly.
It's like, I just hate the vibe of like, we're not allowed to say anything about the community. Like I was non-binary, and we all, low-key trans women, I think are non-binary. If you transition and you're in a male body, like of course you're a woman down the house. Like if you just, if you feel like a woman, you want to be a woman, like you can be a woman, but you're also, you're also you know, like you were born with, like I was born with those chromosomes. Like that's just the D.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like it's just, that's a perception of an intelligent mind, and people that understand all those concepts, these people I fuck with. But then we just have like a bunch of bitches that don't understand none of that at all, and it's just literally fully based on being like tokenizing the shit out of it and like being a special snowflake, which completely misses the point. And yeah, so therefore I'm just like, I'm all for individuality. Like my community is not based on like factors like if you're trans and stuff like that. My community is people that are just like fuck with on a spiritual level.
If you're cunt.
Like if you're cunt, if like I fuck with you as an individual. And yeah, but obviously most bitches are just giving NPC vibes anyway.
Oh my god, yeah, of course. But it's also like, I also feel like, you know, I don't wanna see, I've been thinking about this concept of people being an NPC a lot lately, and like thinking about it, like thinking about like the kind of like the solipsistic nature of it, like just thinking about like, okay, so if I'm seeing people as like less human than me, I don't, like it's such a hard thing because sometimes people have different levels of awareness of reality and different levels of like processing their experience and different levels of like, you know, but that's not, I really believe that people are capable of, anyone is capable of self-awareness. Anyone is capable of like extreme sentience and like transcending beyond that default. But I do think so many people have been made. Also, it's like, it's because of like the way that the world is made and planned and like the way that elites run things. Like people have been made into livestock in a way. And so they act like that. Like a lot of people act more like livestock than they do a human being. And that's not a judgment. Like if anything, it makes me sad about the state of our species, that there's so many people that, mind you, I know that everyone I see on the street has their own life, their own feelings, their own experiences, their own thoughts. Like I don't really see them as an NPC, but I think about that concept a lot because I don't believe that I have the same kind of consciousness as someone who never questions anything about their experience or their reality. Like, and it's, I don't know, I've been thinking about that NPC vibe a lot because for a long time I've referred, oh, that person's NPC, this NPC, NPC, whatever, that they're so NPC. But I've been thinking about that, about like the concept of someone being less aware of their experience or less like present in their life.
Absolutely, but I feel like, I don't know, for a lot of people, like, this might sound, like, extremely arrogant, but I don't care, because that's just the truth, and I've realized that very early on in my life, just based on my social environments and surroundings, because I grew up in, like, pretty like fucked up environments.
You grew up in Moscow, right? Or you were born in Moscow?
I was born in Moscow, and I lived there until the age of 10, and then I moved to Athens, which, like, yeah, both places are just, like, not the most, like, expressive environments.
Like, what is Athens like? Because I don't really know anything about that.
Yeah, Athens was giving... Athens was definitely not giving, but I'm really thankful that I went through this chapter in my life, because it was definitely great for character development.
Athens, you think, baby. I feel like the most fun I'm having in Athens will be being
in. I believe that, the baby was... Wait, say that again.
Like, the most fun I've had in Athens was with baby, and because of baby.
Yeah, Nina, I appreciate that.
I mean, the tea is that me and my friends, we did indeed kickstart something that was dead for a long time.
Yeah.
But...
Well, you've done like, boiler rooms in Athens,
girl,
right?
We literally turned, like, dead land into something. Because there was... And I feel like... yeah, when you're just, like, growing up in an environment where, like, you... have absolutely no references, like, you don't see anything, there's nothing, like, cultural happening, there's, you know, you don't see many fabulous people, you don't see many concerts, like, pretty much nothing is going on. Of course, it can get a lot of people very depressed, but in my case, it just, like, forced me to start something myself, because I was like, bitch, you know, I cannot live like this. Like, I'm alive, I'm on this earth, I might as well try to start something myself, because I'm fucking bored. And, like, yes, I'm depressed and I've always been suicidal, but, like, I've always thought that I'm gonna die anyway, so
you might as well be kind.
Yeah, like, I might as well here. You know, like, for the time being alive, like, I'm not gonna, like, fucking kill myself, like, I'm gonna die anyway, so I might as well try and, like, make something happen.
But that's kind of like, sometimes the best stuff comes out of that, because it's like, you can either be nihilistic in a way of like, nothing matters, so I should just kill myself or not try, or you can be nihilistic of like, okay, so if I'm gonna die anyway, why don't I just make this life as cunt as possible, just enjoy it, and then like, if I'm gonna, because I'm gonna die regardless, like, one day I'm gonna die, I know that, like, I'm not gonna live forever, so it's like, I can either kill myself, or I can know, okay, one day I'm gonna die, I'm mortal, why don't I just have fun while I'm fucking here? Because the second I kill myself, who knows what happens then? Because I've had several suicides. I've tried to kill myself a bunch when I was younger. Like, when I was a teenager, like, I've never really talked about this publicly, but, like, I tried to kill myself a lot, like, a bunch. And it was a dark, you know, I grew up in the church in the South, and I grew up in a really restrictive, like, claustrophobic, conservative environment, and it was very painful. And then, you know what, like, when I survived, I just had this feeling, and I moved forward in my life, and I was like, I can either kill myself now, or I can just, like, take the experience that I'm gonna die one day, and I can just put that into my life and be as kind as possible.
Exactly.
Because what's the point? Like, what's the point of killing myself now if I know I'm gonna die anyway? Like, that's how I always feel. Like, why don't you just make a really fulfilling life with that awareness that nothing matters? So, like, if nothing matters, let's turn up, because I have a time limit. My body will expire. I'm not gonna live forever.
Yeah, which obviously is a mindset of very few people, like, very
strong. Empathy with people who don't have that experience, because I get it. Look, I have so much. Listen, like I said, I've tried to kill myself. Like, I'm not judging anybody. Like, it's hard to live in this life, and sometimes the pain gets too much for some people, but that's always been my approach to it.
Yeah, no, but I'm just feeling like, that's why I said, like, this type of mindset only very few people have, but I have such huge appreciation for bitches like this, and, like, it's always, like, the realest bitches that actually start something revolutionary, because you grow up in this fucking oppressive ass environments, and you're just, like, basically making something happen from nothing, and it's always very authentic as well, because you know you're building it from the start, and it always has like a huge cultural impact, and it's very beautiful. And I feel like what me and my friends did with Athens is amazing, because now I see a lot of bitches, like a lot of young bitches there that, you know, saw us and they got inspired, and now they're like, I listen to so much music coming from Athens, like I have so many people like reaching out to me and that's being sad. Like thankful, and like, you know, just like dreaming bigger, yeah, and knowing that like there is life outside of Athens, and like the world is not giving what life in Greece is giving, because growing up there, that's your only perception of the world. But once you leave, you know, I've been told like my whole life basically that like what I'm doing is like too extreme, that it's never gonna like succeed, that it's too crazy, blah blah blah. But like I was just like, you bitches have no clue what you're talking about. Like what I'm trying to do is just literally fun, like it's not that fucking deep.
Yeah,
like watch me. And I was right, because I literally went on a world tour. Like I was having gigs all across the globe, you know, like having fans like screaming.
That's so like, fab.
Yeah.
How did like, that come about? It's just because of what you've done in Athens, you were able to then take it on the road?
No, basically, I mean, that was just like an eye-opening experience for me, because like, as I said, like hearing that, like what I'm doing is too crazy. My whole life in Athens is just like not having access to any spaces to throw like my parties and shit like that. And then just like getting global appreciation. I mean, in my case, like I knew that this is gonna happen, but in the long run, it's just like it works in favor of people that are in Athens right now, because like since me and my friends did it, you know,
there's a pathway.
Yeah, and once something becomes like appreciated on a global scale, then people are like, okay, actually, it's okay to like it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, because. People are very narrow-minded, and they just like they need approval of others,
of
that
course.
It's okay to have fun, like this is not, like this music is actually nice, you know, because they flip from like being like, ew, what the fuck is this shit, to like this is iconic, like within seconds, just because they saw like it becoming like a thing worldwide.
But that's so cool to have that knowledge, and it must be such a confidence builder that like, wow, I can take the scraps of the city and turn it into something that gives me global recognition. Like I have so much respect for that, and I'm sure you worked your fucking ass off for that, because it's not easy, and like organizing in a city where there's not really a culture for that is not fucking easy. You have to fucking hustle, you have to beg and plead and borrow and steal and convince people to even let you do anything.
Exactly. But I feel like, as I said before, in my case, all of that just worked in my favor, because since I had to do all of that to basically,
now you know you can do it.
Yeah, like
forward.
Now I know how to hustle boots, mama. Like that's, you know what I mean? And I feel like that's a skill that you need to have if you want to do it like globally. Like imagine like if you're trained like that, what you can do once
with all
you,
the resources.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's so fucking fab, and I'm like really happy you had that, because I think, you know, you. I just think that like you, especially your sound is really special and unique, because you have, obviously you came, you know, like I know you were close with Sophie, and like you kind of came up during that cultural moment. And so like it's reflective in your sound, but I think you have like really your own taste, your own sonic palette that I also hear a lot of people ripping and like doing their self. And I think the music that you've made and the music that you've produced has been so impactful in ways that people don't understand. And I think your influence is bigger than your fame right now, which is like, you know, I think that's just a cool place to be. But I'm ready for you to get even more acclaim and like for people to really know you. But like even more.
That's absolutely
so exciting.
I'm fucking ready as well. And I just feel like, yeah, I wanted to say basically that with all these resources, like I share, and that's a very important thing for me. Like I know a lot of bitches that gatekeep, and I feel like gatekeeping doesn't bring you anywhere. I feel like I'm just like, I am mostly interested in cultural progress. That's what I want to see.
Of course.
I am confident enough in myself as an artist to know that, like, with my knowledge, like, and my sources, like, what I can do is something that only I can do. And if I give the same exact knowledge and sources to another person, what they will create with this is gonna be something that only they can create. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So therefore, there is no point in gatekeeping.
And then also, then you've created a potential ally, you've created a potential collaborator, you've created someone who, you know, down the road, I mean, look what happened with any situation where that's been the case. I think it's worked well. Like, look at Young Money with, like, Lil Wayne, Nicki, and Drake, and, like, how they really rose themselves up together. Or look exactly. at Young Thug and, like, all of the artists. I mean, who was it? Was it Uzi or Yachty? Somebody, there was a rapper who said that Young Thug gave him, I want to say it was either Uzi or Yachty. I can't remember who it was, but they said that before they were rapping, Young Thug gave them, like, I want to say, like, $100,000 in a chain and said, I believe in you, get rapping. And they created a whole career. And then now they get to go back and collaborate and lift up Thug. And I think when you're trying to build an empire or a dynasty or something larger, when you gatekeep, you wall yourself off from collaboration and from the ability to grow.
Exactly. And that's obviously always based on just, like, a person being insecure.
Yeah.
Because
100.
I just want to see culture happening, and I want to provide my knowledge and my sources to other talented bitches, because what I get in exchange is just, like, witnessing something fucking cunt happening, and that's, like, all I can wish for, honestly. And also, you know, like, you can be a genius and you can create a masterpiece, but, like, if multiple geniuses unite their forces, they create, like, something fucking insane. And why wouldn't you want to witness something fucking insane? You know what I mean? Like, obviously for, like, ego reasons, but fuck that shit. I just want to see, like, insane shit happening.
But I think that's a big problem with the culture right now and with the industry at large. And I think it's because people feel this, like, real scarcity mindset, because there are fewer opportunities than there have been in the past. Well, like, there's more and less. Like, I think that, like, there are more options for artists than there used to be, but there's fewer opportunities within those options. So it's like there are more ways. Oh, could I get a little dose too? Could you make me, like, a 7?
Yeah, I'll do 7.
Thank you. Fewer gigs, there's fewer big clubs, like, clubs have less money than they used to. You're not necessarily making money on album sales like you used to. Like, you know, it's just different. Like, touring fees is different than it used to be. Like, it's just, it's not the same, and it's more expensive to live than ever.
At the same time, though, I feel like nowadays is the first time ever culturally that, to me at least, how I view it is, it's quite communistic in the sense that, like, we're all releasing on the same streaming platforms.
Of course.
We're all on the internet, and
it's like democratizing in a way.
Exactly. And now it's the time where, like, you know, back in the day, you had to be, like, you know, this, like, huge ass producer, like, in a studio in LA, like,
to have any distribution, like, anyone to hear your stuff.
And now, as a bedroom producer, I can just, like, fucking, you know, make my beats in my bedroom, and I can make fucking beats for Madonna, like, the way fucking Sophie did it, you know.
Yeah.
And she really kickstarted this whole thing, but
of
now
course.
It has grown into something so fucking crazy, because you don't have any limits as an artist, because, you know, either you are Taylor Swift or, like, some bitch that lives in the middle of nowhere and just, like, have the most insane fucking talented brain, just, like, you have a laptop, like, you will both will release on Spotify, and it's, like, on the internet, and people will eventually find out about this bitch, and, like, this bitch will end up fucking producing for, you know, insane, like, there's no limits.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think about the fact that, like, oh, thank you, baby, thank you, cheers. I mean, I do my dose. Oh, I love a fucking... Why am I wrong for kind of liking the taste of a dose a little bit?
I don't mind it. People are, like, being very dramatic.
I don't like it. I don't like it a lot. Like, I wouldn't dose... Like, bitches dose with, like, just, like, in their mouth without anything. Like, I wouldn't do that, but...
like without any liquid.
Yeah, people do like that. Like they just put the
people
dropper
do
in their
that.
Mouth.
Who does that? That's fucking crazy.
I've seen it, but I don't mind. Like in a Coke Zero, I kind of like the a little bit of a dose, like that little bit of a, it's like that sweaty metal flavor. Love it. But so I guess what I was saying is, back to my point is that my podcast, this platform, like thousands and thousands of people listen to it every week. What you would have to do to have thousands and thousands of people listening to what you're doing in the
back
past
in the day
would have to be, you would have to have a radio station, or you would have to be on TV, and there would have to be, there's all these levels of gatekeeping and like progress. But it's like now I think about
exactly
like,
and like in case of bitches like us, we wouldn't even have a platform because like good luck
no, they would
finding,
never give a
good luck finding a like a fucking platform where you can like be on crack and talk about like whatever the fuck you want, you know,
or even just like be a fucking tranny. Like I think I think about like, that a lot about like, how I feel blessed that I, you know, like the industry that I'm entering now, it feels smaller because people have fewer resources. They're not collaborating in the way that they could. They're not you know, it's complicated. Like I think we can really uplift the industry, but the fact that this is my second, I'm on tour right now. That's why we're here. Like I'm playing a club in Amsterdam and then I'm playing another club in Berlin. I don't have a fucking album out. Like, and I don't have I'm not signed to a label. I'm fully independent. Like the fact that I got to last month play Sonar to a crowd of like 10,000 people, perform on stage to those people, music that has never been released, and do so many play clubs all over Europe, like have so many amazing experiences. Like that was purely because of the fact that we're in an age that has democratized access to an audience. And I am so grateful for that. Like I can't even believe, absolutely. Like that's the type of shit that I was craving when I was a child. And I'm sure for you touring as well. It's
absolutely. Like, no, it's absolutely crazy. And I'm so thankful that I'm alive in this day and age.
Same.
Like, you know,
in the 90s we would never be, they would never put us on.
Yeah, like bitch, literally like all of our friends opened for Beyonce.
Yeah,
like
no, of
it's
course.
All
I
of
have
our
so
friends,
many
you know,
friends to open for, which that yeah, is like oh my god, like
that
is,
like that would never happen in the
I'm
past. It would be
that
just, like,
for a second because like I still am so I feel like people kind of, when that happened, I feel like there was a vibe of people were a little bit like, oh, well, like, yeah, like they booked, like Andrew booked like all the whatever, like the all the underground people, like it doesn't really matter. Like people kind of downplayed that booking a little bit. Like I would see people talking about it and be like, oh yeah, that was like the diversity booking, or that was like the this or that, or that was like the underground booking. And like, I'm like, bitch, they opened for Beyonce.
Exactly.
That is so fucking kind. Like, that's crazy.
Exactly.
Like, Sophie and River opened for Beyonce. Like,
and of course,
so
people will
people.
Be, of course, people will be saying what you were saying, but like, it that doesn't fucking matter because the reason why, like, the actual reason why these people opened for Beyonce is not, for like this surface level diversity bullshit or whatever, it's just because people nowadays realize that these are the people that actually make culture happen.
Of course.
Like these are like these niche artists, like underground artists, are the people that big pop stars take inspiration from. And it's very clear nowadays because since we're all on the same platform, you can see who's the OG bitch and who just got inspired, you know? So like now you cannot hide, because back in the day, like, you know,
you
like,
would hide the inspiration.
You would hide the inspiration, yeah, because like you, like there was no internet, like to find, like it was just like underground cultures happening in like some underground fucking clubs, and then like a pop star would just like
that's actually a
take,
really good point.
Take something, you know, take an inspiration and make it mainstream, but like people would never know.
Yeah,
but nowadays, like it's very clear, you cannot hide it, so you know. People are just like start booking the actual OGs that kickstart the cultural phenomenon because that's the people you should be booking in the first place. And it's finally the time that it's happening.
Absolutely. I completely agree. And I think it's like, it's honestly such a what are you asking for?
Three.
Oh yeah. Can I have a little more three too, if you don't mind? I think it's beautiful. I'm like so excited to live in this day and age. Like, I think for a long time, I've just felt so grateful. I mean, I've had a platform since I was, you know, my first time I was like popular online was when I had a soft grunge blog, like a pale, it wasn't, it was like in those communities, but like I had a blog that had like, you know, like 70,000 followers when I was 13, 14. And now I've been able, like I constantly, you know, I bartend in Bushwick, which, and whenever I'm there, people come in and say, you know, I've like, I followed you for like, you know, over a decade. And that's such an insane, like, that's not a thing where I'm like, oh, I'm the shit. It's like, I'm so grateful that I live in a time where I have access to a platform where I can publish my thoughts and people can actually see it and be attached, like, be interested. And like, that's not something that ever happened before.
Exactly. And I feel like it should be a mixture of both, actually, because you are the shit and you should know it. I feel like this, like, also another thing that also applies to what I was talking earlier about with like the very talented like trans artists that are just like being labeled as trans as being the main thing and not for their artistry. Like, it's like you should know that you're the shit and you should know that like you're literally so fucking talented no matter how big or small you are. Like, you know, it's giving you have no limits. You can literally do anything you fucking want. Mm-hmm. You should not limit yourself by only existing within like the queer spaces, like 1,000. Within the community. Like, bitch, you, like, the world is your fucking oyster. You're a fucking amazing individual. You're so fucking talented.
Thank
and like
you.
You can like, and you, and to bitches that listen, that are those bitches, you
of
know
course.
It's giving like, no matter where you fucking are, like if you're in fucking Athens in your fucking bedroom and there's nothing yeah. going on, or if you're like in New York and there's a lot going on, it doesn't fucking matter. Like, if you have your own tea going on, like you're working on something, like, bitch, think big. Like, you literally,
this is the time,
this is the time. Like, you can fucking do anything you fucking want, and if you're that bitch, you're that fucking bitch, period. So yeah, that's why I guess I get so like annoyed when I just see like all these talented girls being placed in like those very specific venues and like very specific lineups, because I'm like, this has been like clearly curated based on completely wrong you know, primary factor. Like, the booking was basically done based on like just like making it diverse and like taking like the trans box or whatever.
You gotta have the dolls on the line, yeah, you gotta have yeah. the big doll on the line
rather than like booking the person because it's an amazing artist.
Well, and at the end of the day, a lot of the amazing artists are people who are like in one of those communities, like marginalized communities, quote unquote, or like, you know, who are trans or like are like black or brown or whatever.
Most
like
of them, actually.
Yeah, most of the really talented bitches are. But it's like, I agree with what you're saying, where it's like, it's not, I think you can really see in the landscape and in the industry when that's not, it's not about, oh, you're so cunt. It's like, you know, oh, you're one of the dolls. Like, you're one of the big dolls. Like, I feel like there was a long time where in New York, you would have to have like Sasha or Fashion or one of these people on your lineup, because it's like they're the doll and you have to have the doll in the lineup, which, I mind you, I'm not mad about that. Like, I love that there should be a doll in the lineup, because
of
the dolls
course.
Are fat,
and I thought about
and
it as well.
They're both fucking fat. They're kind like Sasha and Fashion are very talented, very special people, and like
the definition of cunt, basically. Yeah.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, I want them to be playing. I think that they are moving. Like, I will say, like, it's, the scene is changing. Like,
the scene is changing. Yeah, indeed. But I also, like, I've thought about this before. Like, you know, when this whole thing just started happening and people started booking artists only for diversity purposes, just, like, to seem like fucking
oh, thank you, Nina. I love you being like the nurse tonight. the drug nurse dosing us.
Well, yeah, like when people just like started when this whole thing started happening, where like people would just like book the dolls just for the diversity sake, just like to seem like politically correct or whatever the fuck, like, forward thinking. But, and it's like a very narrow-minded way of doing that, and it's annoying, but at the same time I'm not mad at it either, because like in the end of the day the doll still gets the platform,
of course.
Like,
no, and I'm like, never it doesn't matter
like what there was the reason, but like I feel like we like we're slowly moving,
it's a symptom of a bigger problem,
exactly. And I feel like we're like, this is how it started, but like we're slowly like moving past this vibe.
Well,
and
yeah,
like, now we're actually gonna be like, oh okay, so like we booked this doll a bunch of times just for the sake of having a doll on the lineup, but like now we're actually seeing that it's a fucking insane, amazing fucking artist, and we're actually gonna book her next time not to have a doll on the lineup, but to have this amazing artist on the lineup. Yeah,
no, there's such, that's such a good point, and I feel like there are, I like, again, I'm seeing that breakthrough happening where I feel like for a long time there was this scene that felt like we knew that everyone in the mainstream was pulling from it. We knew, I mean, like, I know I've been on the mood board for countless artists, countless things, because I've had pictures of the mood boards sent to me.
Yeah.
And so it's like one of those, and the same, and that's not unique to me. That's the entire, all of those bitches who've been like running the underground are, but those people are now starting, I feel like, to break through a bit. And that's so exciting. And that's, I think that's why, like, the Beyonce thing was so exciting to see, and like why I think in some ways people were, one, jealous, and two, very possessive of those artists. Like, oh, I almost don't want them to break through. I don't, you know, they are, I'm going to keep them in like that Flinta safe space type of mindset, which, I mean, of course, the Renaissance tour like is like Flinta down because it's like Renaissance and it's like it's all gays or whatever, blah, blah, blah. But that doesn't, it doesn't matter. Like, those people are moving up in the world, and that's really exciting to see. Like, I want there to be, like, why haven't we had like a real, I mean, I guess there's Kim Petras, of course, but like that's the fact that that's like the only public doll, like open doll, open about her status doll, that is like really charting, like has charted at all, or it's like given those industry resources, and like even she is kind of treated like a Kaya in the industry. And it's like, I think that you bitches have all been pulling from trannies forever, for decades.
Of course.
So let's not pretend like we're not the fucking OG source. And like, I'm just excited for more bitches. And it's like, you know, there's so many cunt bitches. Like, I'm really excited. Like, I feel like Chase Icon is like about to have a massive moment. Like, I just feel it coming. I feel like Linux is like breaking through in massive ways and like really revolutionizing what it means to be
absolutely
a club kid.
Absolutely.
Like, Mimphy is fucking doing the most all the time, slaying the house down.
Absolutely.
Sasha's doing like Boiler Room, like work for JT, like doing like a bunch of shit that's really popping. Like, there's so
yeah, it's,
many.
It's happening. It's fucking happening.
It's happening.
Like, and it's
I,
happening.
I
it's
be a
more
part of it. Like, I'm like, I'm just feeling like it's so, it's, I feel like we're about to have like a doll renaissance. And I think it's partially because of COVID, if I'm gonna be real, because during COVID the only bitches that were partying, were creating culture, were doing anything, were like the dolls and their gays, let's be fucking for real. And we were all fucking in Dion's apartment doing the most psychotic doses, all keying, DJing, doing the most. We were all like making raves happen, making stuff happen out and about. And like that was something where all of the people who maybe would have taken that and run with it, like, were in the house and stuck.
Yeah.
And so I think like, and obviously there was still influence being pulled, but like I think people got to see for the first time, like, oh, these are the, like you said, like these are the hoes,
yeah,
who are creating all of the trickle down that I'm getting in fucking wherever I am and enjoying and loving. And like, that's, I just think that's so cool. And like, I'm excited to see what happens next, because there are so, and I just think about all the talented dolls that I know and how, you know, you're not, there was always a limit on dolls. Like, it, until I think like we're almost ready as a society to have like, and I think like Kim is kind of testing the waters a little bit, but like we're almost ready to have like a transsexual superstar, capital S, like massive charting, like crazy, like huge artist. And it's almost crazy that it hasn't happened yet. And I kind of think like that's one thing where, even though Sophie wasn't like, let's talk about Sophie for a second, because I feel like Sophie really did, like, people are so, have such polarizing opinions about her and, like, about her role. And I think that, like, a lot of her impact was negative, like, in not on purpose. Like, I think, like, people, corny people, attached themselves to her narrative and her work. But I think that at the same time, she was really on track to be, like, the fucking, like, an industry goat, legend, like, doll. Like,
absolutely. And I feel like what she did was, like, the ultimate form of what I was describing earlier. It's like a trans person that is an incredible artist, and obviously there's a lot of, like, trans influences in the art itself, but at the same time, that's, like, she didn't make the trans thing the main thing. She was, like, all about being the artist that she was, in a sense, yes, that, in a sense that, like, she was always, like, saying how she didn't want to perform at, like, queer stages at festivals. Yeah. She didn't want to she was like, I'm a main stage bitch. What I make is pop music, which, like, obviously her music was fucking insane, like, revolutionary sound, like, very very nuanced, like, very fucking intellectual, very, like, you know, all those things. But she didn't categorize it as that. She was just calling it pop music, which makes it accessible for everybody.
Yeah.
Because if you categorize something as, like, highly intellectual, then, like, by default, people will be like, oh, this is, like, I'm, like, you're amplifying that I'm too dumb for this. Like, fuck you. But yeah, when you're calling it a pop product, then it's accessible for everybody. And, like, everybody's welcome to experience it. And that's how she was positioning herself. And that was, like, truly revolutionary, because also, like, being a bedroom producer and, like, yeah, gaining such heights and being a trans woman, but at the same time, like, so respected in the industry as an artist, and just, like, breaking through this, like, boxes and stereotypes that people are throwing you in. So I feel, yeah, like, for me, she really kickstarted this whole thing, and that's, like, what we bonded over. And I feel like I'm just, like, yeah, continuing the legacy and taking it to the next level, and I'm just, like, so fucking happy to see this whole thing unfold, like, and see the dolls doing the most incredible things ever.
Yeah.
And yeah, ultimately, as you said, like, reaching the point where we are gonna have, like, a trans superstar, and it's gonna be, like, you know, perceived way more casually and, like, easily digested, because we're gonna reach the point socially where, you know, it's not gonna be like, oh my god, that's a tranny, you know. It's gonna be like, oh my god, that's an amazing artist, and yeah, that's what people are gonna care about, you know. Which, like, yeah, but that's very progressive, and that's where we're leaning towards, but we're not there yet. But yeah, it's happening.
I agree, we're getting closer, we're pushing forward. I think that, like, it's really beautiful.